Let's get into the Word of God. Well, I believe that the Holy Spirit has something to teach us today. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit ministers to us. We said that the Holy Spirit empowers us to prosper, and that's in every area of our life, body, soul, spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit was sent to do. And how many in here would like to bear more fruit in their life? All right. Well, that's a good majority. I think we'll go with the majority. Well, in order to bear more fruit, you're going to have to prune some things. You know, when we first moved back here, bought a house out in Reiner area, and the previous owner had planted some beautiful trees, fruit trees. We had apple trees, about four or five, maybe six different kinds. There were peach trees there. There were some cherry trees. There was a what? Grapes. There's grapevines there. There were not prunes, what were the plums. There was a plum tree, a couple plum trees. There was blueberry bushes. I mean, it was fruit everywhere. Well, in our 8-year tenure at that house, I don't think I did anything but look at those trees. I didn't prune them. I didn't attend to them. I didn't, you know, every now and then I'd pick a piece of fruit off. And in the beginning, the fruit was pretty good. And I was like, wow, this is nice. But after 8 years of neglect, the fruit started to taste a little not so good. Because why? We didn't go in, and with fruit trees, I don't know if you know most of them, you have to prune them back. You have to cut them back. And when you cut them back, you think that you're harming them, but you're not. You're causing them to blossom even more and produce better, bigger fruit. Man, I tell you, there was like, how many blueberry bushes were there, Lee? Maybe 12, 10, 12 blueberry bushes. They got whacked down with the mower, and the horses started eating on them some, and then the plum trees developed some kind of disease, and they were gone. And then the peach, I think it blew over to the peach trees, and one of the peach trees got it, and it was gone. We had to cut it. We had to cut two of those down. The cherry trees, I never did get a cherry off of any of the cherry trees. Why am I sharing that? Well, there are some things, if you want to produce fruit in your life, it's no different. There are things you have to prune out of your life if you want your fruit to blossom and become better and bigger. Amen? The good news is, if you're born again, the fruit is already there. If you're born again, the fruit is already there. And that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about how are we going to bear more fruit in our life. Specifically, we're going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Because we're talking about the Holy Spirit. We're in this series about the Holy Spirit. We want to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. So turn and let's just review a bit. Starting back in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's just share or just review what we've talked about. To get you back in that mindset and to help those that weren't here earlier on some of these conversations. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. And I'm going to be doing this out of the Amplified, Tim. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12 says, "Now we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world." Remember, we talked about the spirit of Antichrist is in the world. You've not received that spirit. You have received the Holy Spirit. You have not received that spirit that belongs to the world, but the Holy Spirit who is from God, given to us that we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor and blessing so freely and lavishly bestowed on us by God. We are in this world, but we are not of it, right? We are in the world where the spirit of the Antichrist is, but we're not of this world. All right? We are not of this world. And remember, we talked about the seven spirits of God that represent the complete Holy Spirit found in Isaiah 11. You don't have to turn there. I'll just reference them. The seven spirits of God are the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of strength, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Now, we went over those because, just like I said, if you're born again, the fruit is already there. These attributes of the Holy Spirit are already available to you if you're born again, because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us, right? So when you need counsel, you can enlist the help of the Holy Spirit. If you need some strength, you know, Proverbs says the strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain in times of trouble. If you need that strength, the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of you and is there for you. If you need knowledge in a particular area, you can tap into the Holy Spirit to give you knowledge. Amen? If you need wisdom, you don't know what to do in a situation, you can tap into the Holy Spirit. If you need understanding, you can tap into that. And some of us need help with this last one. The spirit of the fear of the Lord. Learning reverence for God in our life. Amen? The Holy Spirit will lead and guide you into all truth of the Word. Amen? But how does He minister to us? We shared this last week. A couple things here, nine things. He regenerates believers. That's the new birth. He brings revelation and inspiration of Scripture. Remember I said, how many have heard you, I can read the Bible, I just don't quite understand it or comprehend. Pray. Pray that the Holy Spirit reveals His Word to you when you read it, and you will get revelation and inspiration. Amen? We have the indwelling. He indwells believers. He comes and lives in you. Jesus said, I will never leave you and never forsake you. Well, Jesus left us, didn't He? Said He ascended, went back on high, sat down with God there, and they're just up in heaven. But He sent another. And that's why He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Because that Holy Spirit, when you're born again, lives on the inside of you and doesn't leave you. Okay? Once you receive the Holy Spirit, He doesn't pop in and out like a guest. You know, He's not some bad guest that leaves the door open when He leaves or brings His muddy shoes in when He comes in. No, He lives on the inside of you and He never leaves you. And He'll never forsake you. We talked about the baptism of the unity of believers. We're all baptized into Jesus' death and also therefore baptized into His resurrection. And we're a body of believers come together, united with one... What should be our main purpose in this earth? To get all the knowledge in the world that we can get to build ourselves up? To pile up as many material things as we can so that we're comfortable in this world? No, it's the ministry of reconciliation, right? Going and reconciling others to Christ. Sharing what we have inside of us, the Holy Spirit on the inside, with others to change their life, to change their destiny. That's what we are called to do. We're baptized into that as a unity of believers. We talked about the sealing of believers. How, you know, and I'm not getting into the whole, you know, once saved, always saved. I believe that, but I believe there are a couple things that you can do. You can just flat out reject Jesus, I believe, after you've received Him. I believe that you can just flat out say, there's no way, no how, no for, no what to it. I completely reject Him. I believe that is something that someone can do. Because we are free will beings. If we couldn't do that, then we would not have free will. Amen? Just because we receive Jesus, we don't become drones and robots at that point. No, we still are free will beings, and we can still say, I reject the Christ. I pray that no one has ever done that or ever will. But he does leave that option. Sealing of believers. So, and He also fills us. He fills us. We call that, you know, I call that the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Separate from the indwelling. That is not permanent, right? That can come upon any believer. And we're going to talk about, not today maybe, but talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit that that come upon people that are utilized for ministry in this earth. And we're going to talk about that maybe next week. But we talk about interceding for believers is another one. What the Holy Spirit does, interceding on our behalf when we don't know what to pray and how we ought to pray. We pray in the Holy Spirit, and He intercedes for us on our behalf, praying out the perfect will of God, guiding believers. He guides us into all truth. He guides us. And then this last one, and this is the one that I want to talk about today. He produces fruit in our life. How does the Holy Spirit minister to us? By producing fruit in our life. The ministry of the Holy Spirit produces this fruit, this internal character that results in external God-glorifying behavior, is produced in the yielded believer by the Holy Spirit, not the believer himself or herself. That is why it is the fruit of the Spirit and not the fruit of the Christian. Right? You can't produce this fruit in and of yourself. No matter how hard you try, no matter what you do, it is the Holy Spirit, it's the one whom indwells you, that produces this fruit in your life. Turn to John chapter 15. John, St. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15. And I'm going to just start right there at the beginning, verse 1. John 15, verse 1 says this, out of the Amplified. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, we're talking about fruit, that stops bearing, he cuts away, trims off, takes away, and he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. You are cleansed and pruned already, because of the word which I have given you, the teachings I have discussed with you. Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Live in me, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself, you can't do it in and of yourself, without abiding in, being vitally united to the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine, Jesus. You are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. I'm talking about bearing fruit. How do we bear fruit? It's not in and of ourselves. We can do good deeds, but that's different from bearing fruit in our life, and we're going to talk about it. So how do we stay? It says if we're going to bear fruit, we have to stay vitally united to Him, right? So how do we do that? Well, turn over to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. In verse 16. Galatians 5:16 says this. But I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit, then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh, of human nature without God. For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh. Godless human nature. For these are antagonistic to each other, continually withstanding and in conflict with each other, so that you are not free, but are prevented from doing what you desire to do. But if you are guided, led by the Holy Spirit, you are not subject to the law. So basically, if you're operating in the desires of the flesh, you cannot bear fruit of the Spirit. Let me say that again. If you are operating in the desires of your flesh, your natural man, you cannot bear the fruit of the Spirit. They can't coexist. It's like fear and faith. How many have heard that? You cannot be in faith if you have fear about something. And if you are in faith about something, there's no fear there. Amen? Because they can't coexist. You can't be in fear about something and have faith for it. If you're believing for healing and there is fear there, there's doubt, there's unbelief, then you're not in faith. But when you're in faith, there is no fear. If you're acting in one, you cannot act in the other. So if you're operating in the desires of the flesh, you cannot bear the fruit of the Spirit that we're going to talk about. Verse 19, let's continue. It says, now the doings, the practices of the flesh are clear. They're obvious, the word says. And they are as follows. There's a big laundry list here we're going to get to. Immorality or wickedness. Impurity. And I've got some very short definitions just to give you a better picture of what these words are. Impurity, being defiled by sin or guilt. Indecency, it's unbecoming, it's rude, it's obscene. Idolatry, the love or reference for anything above God. If you place anything above God, if you are loving something more than God, if you give more attention and time. You know, Pastor Rob used to say all the time, he says, show me your checkbook and I can tell you where your time and attention is. Amen? But if you anything you put above God, that's idolatry. Sorcery, the use of black magic or the invocation of evil spirits. Enmity, that is opposite of friendship. Strife, which is contention for superiority. When you contend, we'll leave that one there. Jealousy, fear of someone else's superiority. Fear of someone else's superiority is jealousy. Anger, ill temper, selfishness, I think we all know what that is. Divisions or dissensions, when you cause divisions or you lend yourself to a dissension, that's divisions and dissension. A party spirit, how many got a party spirit? I ain't talking about what I used to have at Virginia Tech when I was a student there. I had a party spirit there, okay, before I got born again. No, a party spirit is people with opinions opposed to authority. You know, God says we're to submit, one, to Him. But He does talk about submitting to authority in our life as well. And when we don't, that's a party spirit. I know it doesn't sound like it. Doesn't sound like much of a party to me. I was partying watching those Hokies win that game, though. Huh? Was anybody else partying during that? Yeah, UVA won. It ought to be a good week next Saturday. That is going to be a good game. We're going to be there. Y'all be cheering for us. We'll be at the game with Caleb and Kenna. I think they'll be duking it out with each other. Which one am I on? Envy, hatred of someone else's happiness or success. These are the, listen, I kind of wanted to preface this and I didn't, but this is a laundry list and you need to be judging yourself if you see yourself in any of these areas. Right? Because these are works of the flesh. And if you're doing any of these works of the flesh, you're not going to see the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Envy, hatred of someone else's happiness or success. Anybody ever been there? Someone does well, maybe you don't think they deserve it. And you're saying, I could do a better job. I've been there. I'll even say that I've been there after I got born again. I'm not proud of that. But I'm trying to be real, okay? We all see some of this in our life at one point or another. Amen? Drunkenness and carousing and the like. He says, I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, wait a minute. Let me just stop right there. I believe that right there has led to a lot of wrong doctrine, false beliefs, religion at its core. So you're saying if I get angry or if I get drunk or jealous or I'm in strife with someone or I have envy, I'm not going to heaven? No, that's not what that scripture is saying. But it is the root of a lot of religious ideas that people have struggled with for years and years and years, that it's kept them from the faith. It's kept them from bearing fruit in their life because they see those things and they say, gosh, I got drunk last week. Am I not going to heaven? Am I not saved? Oh, my word. Married couples would be doomed because if you couldn't be in strife, if you were in strife and couldn't go to heaven, you would be doomed as a married couple because we all have moments, you know, where we have heated conversation with our spouse if you've been married any length of time. Some of you probably, you know, Angel and Michael, y'all, I just see y'all as the happiest couple, and y'all probably never get in strife. They are just such, they're always smiling and loving on each other. But some of us get in strife. Does that mean we're not going to heaven? No. Let's look at Luke to help us out with this. Luke chapter 17, okay? This is important. You know, we deal with the spirit of religion constantly. I believe y'all know a lot of people. You've been on this earth a long time and have run into people with the spirit of religion. In fact, I'm thinking of a couple right now. Y'all probably don't even know them. Right now, the deal with this spirit of religion, thinking they can't do anything, and it is keeping them from a relationship with God. Because they think it's performance-based instead of grace-based. Luke chapter 17, verse 20 is going to help us out here. It says, Luke 17:20, asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. All right, we just read right there, back up, it said, those that do such things, that big laundry list, shall not inherit the kingdom of God, okay? So now Luke's telling us about the kingdom of God. Asked by the Pharisees, Jesus asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. He replied to them by saying, the kingdom of God does not come with signs to be observed or with visible display. Nor will people say, look, here it is, or see, it is there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you, in your hearts, and among you, surrounding you. The kingdom of God is within you. This is the abundant life that Jesus came to give to you. So if you have the abundant life inside of you, you have the kingdom of God inside of you, which means you have the Holy Spirit inside of you indwelling you, and it produces that fruit in your life that we're talking about. But, so, if you do the works of the flesh mentioned, it will not affect your status in heaven. Listen, we got to understand this. It will not affect your status in heaven, but it will affect your life on this earth. There is a consequence to it, in other words. And the consequence is here on earth. You know, you're doing some of those things, it may hurt your testimony when you're trying to testify before someone else. It'll cause you to be in guilt and condemnation, which will take you away from your relationship with God. These are the things it will affect, but not your status in heaven. Why does it affect? Because you're not living that abundant life. That abundant life that the Spirit produces with fruit in your life. That abundant life what Jesus said He came to give us. We understand that, right? John 10:10. It's the enemy that steals things out of our life. That kills things in our life. That destroys things in our life. But it's Jesus that came to give us life. And life more abundantly. Amen? Prophet Hosea says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So let's get some knowledge. We're asking the Holy Spirit to reveal some knowledge today to us. So go back to Galatians chapter 5 and let's pick that back up in verse 22. Galatians 5:22, where we left off. It says, but the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within accomplishes is love, is joy, it's peace, it's patience, it's goodness, it's kindness, it's gentleness, and it's self-control. That is the fruit that the Spirit inside of you produces in your life, but you cannot be operating in the flesh and doing those things and produce fruit at the same time. Does that make sense? Verse 23, gentleness, meekness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. They can bring a charge. And those who belong to Christ Jesus, the Messiah, have crucified the flesh, the godless human nature, with its passions and appetites and desires. If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit. But remember, they cannot coexist. Or you can't be walking in the Spirit if you're walking in the flesh. In other words, you can't enjoy the fruit of the Spirit when you are sowing seeds to your flesh. Seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest remains. Whatever you are planting, whatever you are sowing, that is the fruit you're going to get. You can't sow seeds of discontent and wake up the next day with fruit of contentment. Right? You cannot sow seeds of hate and wake up with fruit of love. You cannot sow seeds of wrath and anger and ill will towards people and wake up with fruit of kindness or gentleness. It just doesn't work that way. We're called to examine ourselves. We can all be fruit inspectors, and I pray that you inspect your own fruit. Because when you inspect your own fruit, it passes through your hands first before it gets to onlookers. Then they don't see the rotten fruit. You prune it, right? You prune yourself. This is what we need to be doing. Examining our life, inspecting our fruit. Being fruit inspectors. And as brothers and sisters in the Lord, we can inspect one another's fruit. In fact, we're called to come alongside one another. And if you see someone stumbling or falling in an area, the word is clear. You're to lift that brother or sister up. Call them back to God. Don't just leave them floundering around. You see someone backslid. That's a big term that we like to use. Being backslid. Someone who was walking with God and has walked away, turned, gone in another direction. Go. Grab that brother or sister. Bring them back to God. Sometimes we do that with love and encouragement, but sometimes, man, we got to. Says we got to pull them out of the fire. Amen? So what's our takeaway today from this? Well, it's similar to our takeaway from last week. We need to learn and understand and get a revelation of how to enlist the help of the Holy Spirit more often in our life. The Holy Spirit is here. With us, in us, to lead and guide us, to show us things, to help us, to comfort us. He's our advocate. He's our intercessor. And we need to tap into that Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus sent him. That's why he said, I'll never leave you, never forsake you. He's the key to our abundant life here in this earth. How many want a more abundant life? Abundant life, bearing that fruit, the fruit of the Spirit in our life. Again, more love, more joy, more peace. I mean, these are, my goodness, who doesn't want more of this in their life? More patience. My wife says, yeah, you could use some of that. Goodness, kindness, faithfulness. Some of us need a big old help in a self-control, especially around Thanksgiving time. We won't apply that one come Wednesday night. And you know what? It's the fruit in your life, produced in your life, listen to this, that convicts the world. It's not our job to convict the world of their sin. But when we produce fruit in our life, that convicts the world. It's not us convicting the world, but the Spirit at work in us convicting the world. Amen? Isn't that good news? Isn't that something that you can take hold of and apply in your everyday life, examining yourself, inspecting your own fruit, and wanting, desiring more of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. But remember, you can't have both. And it's okay. You see yourself, you know, you ask the Holy Spirit, let me discern these times when I am acting or walking in the desires of the flesh. Let me, Holy Spirit, reveal them to me. And then you can take authority over that. Cast that spirit of anger down. And say, Holy Spirit, let me produce the fruit of love in place of this. Let me have a spirit of joy about me because the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I need that strength right now. Produce joy in my life. That's good stuff. So what is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Well, part of it is producing fruit in your life. Again, you don't have to produce it in and of yourself. You can rely on the Holy Spirit. Tap in to the Holy Spirit to produce that fruit in your life. And don't get into condemnation, you know, saying, gosh, man, I think I tapped into every one of those things on that list. Listen, make a proclamation and say, from this point on, I am endeavoring to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, not in the fruit of the flesh. Draw that line in the sand. Say, I am not stepping across that line again. I am not getting into envy and jealousy and strife. I'm not showing my anger. No, I'm going to have peace in situations like that. I ain't going to go out and get drunk next week. I'm going to stay at home and get, no. Lord, help me. Well, that's my word of encouragement for you today.